Well, good morning. God is good. He's given us another new day. What are we going to do with it? We have been studying Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, and I plan to continue with that this morning. And what I would like to put forth as the title of this inspiration is, How Long Halt Ye Between Two Opinions? Okay, how long halt ye between two opinions? Let me read to you 1 Kings 17 through 22. I think we'll stop in 21. 17 through 21. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baalim. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. If you haven't been listening in, then we're just kind of jumping in the middle here, and you haven't heard what we've said before about leading up to this, but that's okay. I'm sure that you can still be inspired. But here we are talking about Israel and the situation that things were in. And there was a tremendous drought, tremendous famine. Elijah had told Ahab that it wasn't going to rain till he says so. And this is exactly what was happening. Ahab probably didn't believe him at first, but it's happening. Here's the third year already, and it hasn't rained. Can you imagine how dry it would be? I've never seen it not rain near that long. I've seen it when it didn't rain for a month or two, and it got extremely dry, or maybe it just rained a little bit for about half a year, just here and there a little bit, and it got dry. But that wouldn't be near as dry as what it was here. It was parched, extremely dry. And here they meet, and Ahab says to Elijah, Are you the troublemaker? And Elijah assures him that he isn't, that Ahab is, because they have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. And that is so much how it is for all of us. We can't blame the president. We can't blame this person or that person for the evil in society, the evil in the world, in our nation and such. Yes, the evildoers are to be blamed. The root problem is sin. And the root of our own soul's problems is sin. Let's think about sin a bit. And let's be sure that we are settled in our minds that sin is never worth it. Sin always causes trouble. In the short range, sin is disappointing. In the long range, it is damning. In the short range, sin is sickening. In the long range, it is deadly. In the short range, sin is unfulfilling. In the long range, it is a dreadful burden. Which are we going to choose? Sin or freedom from sin? My own way or God's way? Here we have the prophets of Baal. And they could have said, well, we worship God too. Yes, they did worship a god. And Baal's name simply meant Lord. A person that was half-heartedly serving Jehovah probably could have switched and started half-heartedly serving Baal, and nobody would have really thought much of it. Maybe things wouldn't have changed that much. Maybe they would have said, Not much has changed. I'm still serving the Lord. Like people do today, they make big changes and it's not the right direction. It's gone towards the world and they say, well, I still love the Lord. I'm still serving God. But in reality, some deep things have changed. And they're really serving themselves. Or they're really serving the lust of their flesh. This is tremendous here. Elijah with Ahab the king and hundreds of false prophets. And I don't know who all else of Israel. Quite a crowd, nonetheless. It doesn't we don't really know just how many, but it was quite a crowd. And Elijah, he came up to the people, and he asked, how long halt ye between two opinions? And halt being limping along. How long are you going to limp along between two opinions? You're not sure of this one, and you're not sure of that one. You're just undecided. You don't know who you're going to serve. You're just confused. You're in the valley of decision. And the people didn't answer a word. Being stuck between two opinions is not a good place to be, especially if it has to do with who is our God, who's our master. Jesus told us you can't serve two masters. It's either going to be one or the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Either one's going to control your life or the other one's going to control your life. Well, my friend, who's going to control your life today? Are you halting between two opinions? Are you unsure of whether you want to serve God or serve the flesh? Are you unsure of whether the Bible is going to be your guide or your own way? Or whether it's the Bible or some concoction of a religion that is not exactly according to the Bible. Indecision greatly cripples us in our life. There's a great need to be decisive in our Christian life. Consider your lot cast with the people of God. Your destiny sealed. Think about a squirrel. I've come down the road and squirrel was up front. And you think he's going to go one way, and all of a sudden he stops and goes back the other way, and then he stops again and goes back the other way, and he's on the road the whole time, back and forth, and you're coming along, and before the squirrel can ever make up his mind, you run over him. Let's not be like that. We live in a time that there is tremendous opportunity. There's tremendous amounts of information available that is helpful and interesting and teaches us about the creation of God. And we have study helps to study the Bible. There's just so many ways that we can learn and increase in understanding and be wise in things that only a few decades ago, learning was a lot more difficult. There's a lot of things that people didn't know then that they know now. We have a lot of opportunity. But in the midst of this information revolution and society's infatuation with electronic gadgetry, we as Christians find it challenging to know how to walk circumspectly. How do you deal with all the new gadgets and technology? How do you deal with it? Let's consider how things have changed just in the electronic world. In 1949, Popular Mechanics, forecasting the relentless march of science, made this statement: computers in the future may weigh no more than 1.5 tons. Now go forward to 2001, 52 years later, and the latest thing was laptops, a laptop computer. And you were holding a 10-pound computer on your lap. People thought this was absolutely fabulous. They couldn't believe how far things had come and how advanced technology was becoming. And this was the latest and the greatest at the time. Now, let's go forward again 15 years, just 15 years till now. And the latest smartphone is under 5 ounces instead of 10 pounds and has the equal computing power of 210 of those 2001 10-pound laptops of just 15 years ago. So I'm saying these things, and you know as well as I do probably that it's not all good. There's the world out there, and there's lots and lots of defiled people that want to defile you and I as well. And there's a lot of information that's no good for us. There's a lot of lustful and defiled and perverse things that are very available if we have the technology to get to it. Things are very, very available, whether it's the good we're pursuing or the evil we're pursuing. And there's a great need for temperance. Temperance is self-control. There's a great need for self-control. But self-control is not a natural fruit of our flesh, but of the Holy Spirit. So we really need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We really do. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to make it. We're not going to be able to have self-control. We're not going to be able to choose the right and reject the wrong, or to abhor the evil and choose the good, cleave to the good, like it says in Romans 12. So my friend, how long halt ye between two opinions? Will you continue to cripple along? Not sure if you're going to serve yourself or serve the Lord. Not sure if you're going to have your own kind of religion or the living faith of the New Testament. Not sure if God's going to win in your life or the world. My friend, don't continue to go crippled through life. Make up your mind once and for all and serve the Lord with a fervency, with a determination, with a zeal, with a genuine love, and take up the cross. Crucify the flesh. Follow after Jesus. He is worthy. He is very, very worthy. I plan to come back tomorrow and continue talking of this great Old Testament story and see how far we get tomorrow. It's been a pleasure to share with you. God bless your day.